This morning we're continuing with our summer series of looking at various parables. The teachings of Jesus were used simple stories to communicate great and wonderful things through very simple stories. And this morning we're going to be looking at the kingdom of God through the mustard seed. Now, I bet when you woke up this morning you didn't think, man, I hope that the pastor, whoever it is, preaches on the kingdom of God. Now, how many of you raise your hand if that's what you were thinking? All right, we got a young one right there. Thanks for the honesty. This word's for you. All right, and others will enjoy it too. But it's one of those things, it's a little bit obscure. To be honest, I was regretting this scripture about halfway through the week and have come to love it by late last night. And I'm grateful for that prompting that the Holy Spirit gave me. But as we seek God's understanding and guidance for his word, would you pray with me, please? Dear God, we do thank you for your word, for your truth, for the way that you use simple stories to teach us magnificent things that we really have a tough time comprehending. And because you created us and you know us, you know the way to teach us through simple stories. So, Lord, I pray that the words that I share would communicate your truth. And anything that I share that would not do that would be quickly forgotten. That your spirit would be upon us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Now, to begin this story, we have to go back. And not just back to the beginning of the life of Jesus, but back to the beginning of creation. Back to the beginning when Adam and Eve were here on earth, before they ate from the tree, when their eyes were open, when sin entered the world. Because at that moment, Adam and Eve were living with God. We are inhabited here on earth with God, the way that we were designed to live. Man, women, and God coexisting here on earth. And then through this fall, we alienated ourselves, created that separation between us and God. To really understand what happened in this, we know because of thousands of years of knowing what it's like to be sinful, but we really don't quite grasp what we're missing out on. Someone said that it's like a fish who's designed to live in the great big ocean, having to live a life in a little puddle. We were designed for relationships. We were designed for relationships with God. And because of our separation, because we're living in this little puddle, we're settling for other things, filling our lives with other things for those relationships that we were supposed to get from God. We instead fill our lives with things like wealth, family, our country. We're settling for something that's far too small for our souls. In reality, we're not in the home that we're built for. So how do we make it in this pond that we're in when we want to be out in the ocean? It's something that throughout history, people have been trying to figure out how to reconcile that relationship between us, between humanity and God. There are some great images that are given throughout Scripture of different prophets that see visions of a connection between heaven and earth. In Genesis 28, we read about Jacob's ladder with the angels going up and down. In Daniel chapter 4, Nebuchadnezzar's dream of the tree that's going up to heaven. In Ezekiel chapter 17, there's a vine where eagles are going up, connecting us to God. And all these visions and prophecies, and really all the Old Testament, was leading us to the ultimate connection between God and earth. And that was Jesus Christ. The connection that we have is what the Scriptures teach us is the kingdom of God. Now, a lot of times we think of the kingdom of God as a physical place, somewhere in heaven that we will go to when we're done with our lives here on earth. But it's a spiritual realm. It's the kingdom of God is the place where God rules. If God rules in your heart, then where you are and where you live is where you'll find the kingdom of God. So in reality, the kingdom of God is not just somewhere that's far away. The kingdom of God is right here. Right here in the presence of those who have Christ dwelling in our lives, dwelling in our hearts. Now, I've said that in a very simple few sentences, and if it were that simple, Jesus would have said that and been done with it. But he gave a parable. And not just the parables we're going to share, but a whole chapter of Mark and other parts of Scripture where he's trying to communicate to us what is the kingdom of God. The first part of Mark chapter 4 that we're not going to read is about where the farmer scatters the seed on the different lands, some on the stones, some on the cracks between the stones, some that the thistles and the thorns grab a hold of. And he uses this to look at the way that the word is spread around the kingdom of God, and what some of it is taken up and some of it is not listened to, not heard. The second part of is the lampstand, the story of you don't put a lamp on a stand and cover it up. And he's looking at Jesus, or himself, as the kingdom of God. He is the Son of God, the kingdom here on earth to be revealed. And yet, do we take time to cover him up, or do we open it up for all to see who Christ is? Now, we get to our scripture, and we look at the two different parts of the in your bulletin, if you want to follow along. The first, the parable of the growing seed. It says, he also said, this is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground, night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up. The seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain, first the stalk and then the head, then the full kernel of the head. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts it to the sickle, because the harvest has come. Now, we could look at a seed and try to understand what happens. We can, scientists can see the different processes and things like that. But the reality is that we really don't fully know. We really don't fully understand how a simple little seed grows into a great big plant or a great big tree or whatever it is. The seed holds the secret of its growth. In the same way, this story is showing us that we are really not in control of the kingdom of God. God is. All we're asked to do is to be faithful. If you notice in that scripture, the farmer does nothing. He goes to bed. He might go on vacation, but the seed still sprouts. There's also some assurance in this that the kingdom of God is not solely dependent upon me, but it's dependent upon God and the church. Our second part of the scripture about the mustard seed. Again, he said, what shall we say the kingdom of God is like? Or what parable shall we use to describe it? It is like a mustard seed, which is the smallest of all seeds on earth. Yet when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants, with such big branches that the birds can perch on its shade. With many similar parables, Jesus spoke the word to them, as much as they would understand. He did not say anything to them without using a parable, but when he was alone with his own disciples, he explained everything. Now, some people will say that the mustard seed is what the kingdom of God is. But that's not really what he's saying. He's using the mustard seed to show what happens to the mustard seed as a comparison to what happens with the kingdom of God. The mustard seed starts out small, one of the smallest seeds. As Pastor Brandy said with the children's sermon, about the size of a grain of sand, which luckily we have plenty of those for you to look at. And when the mustard seed grows, it grows into one of the biggest bushes in the garden. A mustard plant grows 6 to 10 feet tall, so something very tiny grows into this big plant. So we know the kingdom of God is something that is growing like a mustard seed does. But does that really help for us to look between the connection of God here on earth, the kingdom of God, and God in heaven? N.T. Wright says, in the Old Testament, the place where God's space and our space intersected was the temple in Jerusalem. The new reality is the kingdom of God was the whole point of Jesus' work, to bring heaven and earth to join them together forever, to bring God's future into the present and to make it stick, to bring God here and to make it stick through the power of the Holy Spirit. So you might be thinking, okay, we've got it figured out. God's here. He's in our hearts. We learned this in Sunday school when we were much younger. But what does this look like? It's not as simple, maybe, as we would think. The kingdom of God is not just about me, not just about you and salvation and the presence of God here. The kingdom of God is about the whole world. It's about everything in the world. It's about our job as believers, as followers of Jesus Christ, to transform the world and restore all alienation, to end disease, to end hunger, to end injustice, homelessness, educational disparity. And as Tim Keller says, it's really to look at the world and turn it upside down. Now, one of the great things about sitcom TV is they teach something, and they don't mean to be biblical, but they do it anyway. One of my favorite TV shows, for various reasons, is Seinfeld. And you might remember the episode where George Costanza has decided that his life is, he's just not doing very well. So he makes it his vow that every natural instinct he has, he's going to do the opposite. And he just, you know, if black is, everything that's black is now white, what's up is down, and everything he's going to do different. And it's amazing. He meets this girl, and he says, "Hi, my name is George. I'm unemployed. I live with my mom and dad. I'm bald, and I'm overweight." She falls in love with the man. It's amazing. But that's what God says, that sometimes when we look and see, this is what's natural, this is what the world says is the way to success, God looks and says, no, that's not the way. What Jesus says about turning the world upside down is that the way to achieve fullness is for us to empty ourselves. The way to knowledge is to teach others, to give away your knowledge. The way to go up is to go down. The way to fullness is emptiness. The way to be rich is to give it away. And not to give away all of your money, but to give away your time, to give away your relationships, to give away those things that we value, and we will be made rich. The way to reign is to submit. The way to influence and power is service. The way to be happy is to make others happy. The way to magnificence of character is humility. The way to find yourself is to lose yourself for the service of God. And the way to be free is to say, God, command me. Now, all of these things, if you were to ask most people in the world, what are the ways to do this? You would achieve those things. If you wanted to be happy, you would pursue happiness every single day. But the Bible says if you want to be truly happy, you will work to make others happy. So you might think to yourself, okay, I can do that. I'm going to make other people happy because I want to be happy. Well, then you've got the wrong motives. So even though we think we're doing the right thing, God always knows our motives. Think about Abraham when he was asked to go and sacrifice his son. Do you think that Abraham thought, okay, God, I'll follow along and, you know, you'll probably stop me at the end, but I'll just go along with you right until the very end? No, he was fully committed, fully sold out to doing what God had called him to do. And that's what it is when we're pursuing him, turning the world upside down and pursuing these things for the good of others, for the good of the world, for the good of humanity. It's looking at our motives, not just looking at that we do things out of service, out of love, out of gratitude, but what are the motives? Are we making others happy so that we'll be happy? Or are we making others happy so that they will truly be happy and enjoy life? It seems like a little backwards. You know, if you were to have a marketing campaign, they'd say, do this all and make it your mission statement. But Jesus says, love is the mission statement. Also, if you would have looked at Jesus, and they might have told Jesus a marketing scheme, of marketing plan of, you know, a mustard seed, that's kind of small, and a mustard plant, you know, it's tall, but it's not, you know, the greatest of bushes. You'd be much better to choose a stronger tree. Jim Edwards, a professor at Wentworth College, says, if Jesus wanted to present the kingdom of God in power and in glory, he could have chosen a cedar. Instead, he presents it in a tiny mustard seed. Tiny mustard seeds, you and I, living out our faith and God doing amazing things. Now, mustard seeds and tiny things doing great things is what Jesus is all about, is what God is all about. God took the chance of sending his son as a tiny little cell and putting it inside Mary. To grow into a baby, to be born into a, you know, under earth as a normal, regular baby. A tiny baby with a small, insignificant family in a tiny town called Nazareth, where nothing ever good comes from Nazareth. And he only had a few close followers, 12 and then even a tighter 3. So taking the small and making it big. But using these things, he transformed the world. So when you look at your life, what are those mustard seeds? What are those things that maybe are insignificant and small that you can use in a mighty way? Now, if you've been paying attention, you'll know that I'll say, if you're planning on using them, you better check your motives. Is it so I'll be happy? Is it so I'll be successful? Is it so I'll be humble? No, it's for the love of God. A friend of mine down in Houston shared a story about his mother. His mother was a a Christmas and Easter Christian, where she would come to church every once in a while. And after the passing of her husband, she was feeling lonely, feeling like there was no one out there. She lost her husband. Her kids were living in other parts of the country. And someone came and knocked on the door from the church and handed her a casserole dish, something that our deacons and other people do on a regular basis when the people are sick, when they've had a traumatic time in their life. Food arrives. It's a great thing that we do as the church all over the world. But this woman who, you know, very loosely connected member, receives a casserole dish. She says, thank you, close the door, and begins to cry, begins to weep, remembering the relationship that she had with God and what's happened. And it's all through a casserole dish that she becomes reconnected, recommitted in her relationship and her love with Jesus Christ. Is your mustard seed a casserole dish? I don't think that the people who baked this casserole dish were thinking, oh, we'll give it to this woman, it will transform her life, and she will become a stronger, faithful Christian disciple of Jesus Christ. No, I can probably imagine that they all sat around saying, who's going to take the casserole dish? I took one last week. Okay, you're the new guy, you got to take it because she's not really a member. But they went, and they took that casserole dish, mustard seed of faith, and God did amazing things through that. So we have a choice with our mustard seeds. We have a choice of, are we going to put them on a jar and let them sit on a shelf, or are we going to take them and realize that God has given us gifts to use to spread his kingdom, to spread his word throughout the world. C.S. Lewis, in his book on Mere Christianity, the very last part of it, the very last few sentences of it, really gives us a nice description of what this looks like. What this looks like for us to live the life that we're up is down, and we're following Christ is going against culture and society. So hear the words from C.S. Lewis. This principle runs through all life from top to bottom. Give up yourself, and you will find your real self. Lose your life, and you will save it. Submit to death, death of your ambitions, your favorite wishes every day, and death of your whole body in the end. Submit with every fiber of your being, and you will find eternal life. Keep nothing back. Nothing that you have not given away will ever be really yours. Nothing that has not died will ever be raised from the dead. Look for yourself, and you will find in the long run only hatred, loneliness, despair, ruin, and decay. But look for Christ, and you will find him, and with him everything else thrown in. It's the great promise of God that when we pursue these things, when we pursue the things of God, when we open our hands with our mustard seeds, whatever they might be, and do it for his glory, he will do amazing things. There's a book called The Tipping Point by Malcolm Gladwell. I've never read it, but there's a part of it that tells this illustration that if you take an ordinary piece of paper and if you fold it over, if you could, and physically you can only fold a piece of paper over, I think like 7 or 8 times, but if you could fold a piece of paper over 50 times, it would be long enough to reach from here to the sun. Now, when I read this, I thought, that can't be true. So I went on the internet, you know, to find out on Snopes.com. And some people did a lot of math and things like that and averaged the right thickness of paper, and it's true. That if you take just a regular, you have to use cardstock, you can't use the regular thin paper, but if folded it over 50 times, it would be long enough to reach from here to the sun. It was supposed to be here, it's over there. But that would be long enough. So just imagine that, how thin a piece of paper is, how small a mustard seed is, but together, how amazing it is. Now, Pastor Brandy, in the illustration, talked about the bucket and how many bucketfuls of faith would it take to show who God is, to show that does God want us to have. But in reality, look at the sand. Look at how many grains of sand are here, and together they make a beautiful beach. The mustard seeds of all of us, when used by God, when we give them to him, he'll use them in amazing ways. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you for your love. We thank you for the gifts that you've given to us. We all have mustard seeds. things that you want to use to bring the kingdom of God here, the reality of your son here amongst us? Or are there some that we might think you're doing things in our lives through different seeds that we know that we have, and maybe some that we have no idea what it is? But Lord, we pray that you would help us to seek you, to be have eyes that are open to your will. And areas, Lord, where we are seeking happiness by trying to make ourselves happy, where we're seeking success by making ourselves successful, in other areas of our lives, that you would help us to see how we can bless others. And then know that that in your love and mercy, you will lead us to a true relationship with you, a relationship that seeks your glory as our motive, not our desire and our own glory. We ask all this in your son's holy name. Amen.